So we're dealing with this idea of fear and faith. All right, try to put them in contrast with each other. Fear and faith. Perhaps you don't like thunder because you get afraid, right? Okay, that's not an unreasonable reaction, especially from children. Thunder can be very frightening because it's so powerful and so strong and that sort of thing. But when we deal with this idea of fear and faith, we want to be careful. Fear and faith, we're trying to deal with this idea by studying people in the scripture who had incidents in their lives that were reasonable, rational basis to really be afraid. For example, we looked last week at Sarah. That was in the morning, and I'm not going to try to remember when she was Sarai and Sarah, Abram and Abraham. I'm just going to call them Sarah and Abraham. But we looked in 1 Peter chapter 3 and then Hebrews chapter 11 on Wednesday, where the Bible talked about Sarah and Abraham, and 1 Peter said that she was not afraid with any amazement. Oh, actually, it didn't say that about her. It said that we can be like her if we do well and are not afraid with any amazement. So if you weren't here, that's a completely different situation back in Genesis chapter 12 or 13. But then Hebrews 11. Now, maybe this could help us as well. This is what we looked on Wednesday. The Bible says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. Then two things. When she was past age, that's the fear. She would have been afraid, maybe not afraid of like thunder or of a disease or something, but she could have been, I think, very understandably afraid that the promise of God, that something isn't going to work. She's past age. She knows she's past age. She cannot have a baby. But the Bible says that through faith, even when she was past age, listen, she was delivered of a child when she was past age because, here's the reason, because she judged him faithful who had promised. It's not to say that she had a baby because she judged him faithful that had promised. No, it is to say that she did it through faith because she judged him faithful that had promised. So the point is this. The point is, in Sarah's life, if she focused on her barren reality coupled with her age, she would have been reasonably overwhelmed with the idea, there's no way I'll ever have a baby. But instead of facing that reality and letting that fashion her thinking, she pushed back on that true reality. She didn't deny it. She didn't ignore it. But rather she weighed that and all the weight of that against something else. And what else she weighed was she judged him faithful who had promised. She looked at the problem. She looked at God. She made a judgment about God, and she said, this problem, this is key for us, this problem is way beyond me. I can't fix this. I can't fix it. I can't change it. It's something that could really be quite terrifying. However, she judged him faithful who had promised. You promised, and you're faithful. You're dependable. I can count on you. You'll show up. You're not going to be absent. You're not going to be AWOL. I judge you faithful that it's promised. Therefore, instead of allowing this fear to fashion her heart and her life and her values and her thinking, she rather allowed God and his faithfulness to mold her. Proverbs 3:25 talks about be not afraid of sudden fear. It's very curious, especially if you leave the sudden word out. Be not afraid of fear. And I really want to challenge you to think about that in Proverbs 3:25. It sounds redundant. Be not afraid of fear. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Don't be afraid of what's fearful. Don't be frightened by what's frightening. Don't fear what is fearful. And yet the reality is it's very possible to be afraid of fear. I pointed out on Wednesday, it's one thing to be afraid, to have a certain respect, a certain fear of a potential problem, so that that causes us to be cautious. See, God is not counseling, and I am not encouraging or counseling, some kind of a reckless, thoughtless, just cast off fear, just act like there is nothing to fear, just a mindless, reckless sense of, well, nothing really matters. That's not faith. No, faith is intelligent. It's one thing to have a reasonable fear for something that is a serious possible problem. It's another thing to let that fear grip us and fashion us so that all that we can see is our fear. Turn in your Bible, please. Genesis chapter 12, okay? And I will go through two quick points as quickly as I can, but just to give the whole background of what Fred read to us in Genesis chapter 15. I want you to see two specific places here where God promised Abraham. And I hope that this is very familiar and very much a review. But let's plug into it, okay? Look at Genesis chapter 12. This is, you could say, if you know, humanly speaking, this is the beginning of what is to become the nation of Israel, okay? So God calls a man. I mean, we're only 11 chapters into the revelation that we have of Scripture. And God picks out one man and makes a promise or a couple promises to Abram. So let's look at it in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, this is the man who is the subject tonight that we're going to look at, his fear and his faith. The Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Leave your country, leave your family, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Watch this. And I will make of thee, he's talking to one man, God is saying, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and then in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In short, God is promising this man Abraham, leave here, go here, I will give you that land, and I'll make a nation starting with you. Look over in chapter 13. God reiterates this promise, but I really want to point out some very specific things here. Genesis 13, 14, verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, he repeats this promise, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, north, south, east, and west. In other words, now he's in the land. He is in the promised land, in Canaan. And God says, lift up your eyes and look everywhere where you can see, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. Watch this. And to thy, there's a key word, to thy seed forever. Then he goes on and says, and I will make thy seed a second time as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed, a third time he uses that word, thy seed also be numbered, arise, walk through the land in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed the tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and there built an altar unto the Lord. So God promised Abraham. What I want you to really zero in on is not land, not the nation, but the issue of his fear. It's the word seed, your seed, okay? Now, I want to show you Abraham's faithfulness. Just very quick review. Go back to Genesis 12. We'll pick it up right where we left off. Look at Genesis 12, verses 4 and 5. Now, we just read this. God said, leave your kindred, leave your country, leave your father's house, go to this place. You don't know where you're going to go. Verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. That's called obedience. Abram was faithful to God. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls they had gotten in Haran. They went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So Abram was faithful. Hebrews 11 comments on this. Let me read it to you. Verse 8 says, by faith Abraham... Keep that in mind, that word faith in mind. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go, he's talking about Genesis 12, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, this is important to me to emphasize, that when we're going to talk about Abraham and his fear versus his faith, we're not talking about some mediocre believer here. We're talking about somebody who left everything to follow God. I mean, he heard the word of God and he did it. He left everything to do it. There is so much to commend Abraham. I don't want you to think, oh, well, yeah, faith had a crisis of faith, or Abraham wasn't that good. Or no, this was a very strong believer. Look at chapter 12, verse 7. The Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Why does the scripture say he built an altar? Because that's worship. There is no temple. There is no tabernacle, right? I mean, there's no priesthood. You know, that there's none of this that we're going to learn about later in the book of Exodus, and after, you know, the Exodus and all that God did when they got into the promised land and out of Egypt and all after Genesis. There's none of that. And yet he is building an altar. We're going to see that again. Look over here in chapter 12, verse 8. He removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. This is a very godly man. Then last week, we look at verses 10 through 20. So I don't want to review all of that except to say, remember with Sarah, her test of faith and the issue of her fear was what happened here, verse 10. There was a famine in the land. Now stop with me. What land? Canaan. The land where God told Abraham to go. God said, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to make a nation of you in that land. This land, and by the way, this land is really important land, and it has been ever since Genesis 12 to this very day in 2020. And the devil keeps fighting about that, and so do ungodly people. You can read about it in the paper almost every single day. Maybe not almost, but almost. Okay, watch this, verse 10. There was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. This is a crisis of faith. This is a failure of faith. He left the land that God told him to go to and to stay in, and he left there because of a famine. I'm not being critical of that. I mean, let's stop and think, as we looked last week. If there was no food, would you trust God or would you go get food? That's where he was. And we're talking, you know, sometimes we can read the Bible and we can just kind of think in some theoretical, esoteric way rather than really plug it into our lives. This is a failure of faith. I'm not being critical. But he went away from where God told him to go, and he went to this place where there was famine. And what happened? Nothing good. God protected him by his mercy and his wife. Look at something else. Look at Genesis chapter 13. Verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, silver, gold. He went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. What's he doing? Why does God say that? Because he's getting right with God again. He's going right back to where he got off track, right back to where he needs to be. He went right back to where he had been worshiping, right back to get right back on track with God. Very wise thing for any of us to do. Look at Genesis verse 5. Oh, well, chapter 13, verses 5 through 13 is when he split from Lot, or Lot split from him. You're probably familiar with that. Look at Genesis 13, verse 18. Last verse of the chapter. Then Abram removed his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. And then chapter 14, if you're familiar, this is when Lot was rescued. Abram rescued him when there was these, what was it, 9 different kings that came and overran Sodom and where Lot was. Now, all of that to bring us up to chapter 15. Just very quick, just the highlights, God's promises, Abraham's faithfulness, Abraham's worship, and yet some failure. I want you to look at chapter 15 with me. Watch what happens where there's this conflict between his faith and fear. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Fear is in competition with faith. It's It's very interesting here. God does not say to Abraham, just trust me. He doesn't say, just put your faith in me. He doesn't say, just believe me. And sometimes as believers, I'm afraid that we can try to really work on faith and try to work up faith and yet be in denial of what we're afraid of or what's really battling our faith. Sometimes we can be almost schizophrenic as believers, double-minded, where we know we should have faith, so we say that we have faith and we talk about having faith, but in our heart of hearts, we just don't have faith. We shouldn't deny that. We should be honest. God already knows. God, we should say, Lord, yeah, like the man said to Jesus, Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. I want to believe you. I want to trust you. I know that I should trust you. Maybe we could even in our prayer say, you deserve to be trusted. The problem is not with you. It's all with me. But the reality is, right now, I'm really scared to death. I don't want to take this step. I don't have enough money. I don't want to give money to the church. Or I don't know what this person is going to say. I don't want to witness to them. I don't want to share my testimony with them. I don't know what's going to happen if I talk to my boss or whatever issue of life that God's word is bringing to bear into our lives, where it's going to take a step of real faith. Watch what happens here. God said to him, fear not. Look at verse 2, please. And Abram said, I don't have a baby. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And it's as though Abram said, that's not enough. You're saying you're my shield. You're saying you're my reward. You're saying fear not. But I'm afraid. I don't have a son. Look at it, verse 2. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no, look at the word, seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. I want to really hunker down in verse 2 with this for a few minutes. He said, I have no child. I go childless. You promised God. You promised me. I don't have a child. You said you would do this. You did not do it. And he didn't. God had not done it. He was childless. Why? Did God forget? Now, of course, we say, no, God didn't forget. Of course not. Yeah, but in the reality of living, our living, not Abraham's, but our own personal lives, it is not unusual that God places us in situations where to us, the clock is ticking and ticking and ticking and ticking and ticking. And sometimes there can be a problem, and we might even apply this in our own current situation and just say, I just want it to be done. Why isn't it done? Because God doesn't want it done. What a stunning thought that is. Why didn't he have a baby? Why did God promise him way back here? And then way up here, he still doesn't have a baby. Why did God make him wait? Because what is important to God is not the baby, it's the faith of Abraham. And that's what's important to God with our lives too. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to put our confidence in him and to trust him implicitly, even though my mind says, I don't know. What does the scripture say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. It's not to say that we know one thing with our intelligence and our understanding, but we believe something completely counter that. It's not counter. Faith is not counter to our intelligence or our knowledge. Faith is beyond it. Could Abraham at this age have a baby? No. Did Abraham at this age have a baby? Yes. God did that. But somehow along the line, we tend to think, well, when we're a certain age, we can. And then we get to a place, as Sarah said, where she is past age. But how is it that somehow we don't understand that a baby is, in some measure, miraculous? Certainly the work of God, regardless of our age. To me thou hast given no seed, Abram said to God. I want to commend to you, and I could say recommend to you, to be this honest with God. There's no censure of Abraham here. There's no rebuke. There's no admonition. I mean, God said, fear not, I am thy shield and thy great reward. God is saying, I will protect you. He's just come from a war in chapter 14. He said, I am your great reward, because Abram rejected all the spoils of that war. He didn't prosper because of setting Lot free. And God is commending him. I'm your shield. I'm your great reward. What was Abram thinking? He wasn't thinking of the shield. He wasn't thinking of the reward. He wasn't thinking of the war. He said, I don't have a son. He was honest. And I commend that to us as God's children, to be honest with him. He already knows. He knows the struggles of our hearts. He knows what we fear. Or maybe the word fear doesn't connect with you as well. I don't pick something else. I don't know. Pick fear. Pick anger. Pick frustration. I don't care what we... The point is to push back on that with faith, with confidence, with trust in the Lord. I think it's fascinating that Abraham used God's specific word to express his fear. Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. You said you're going to give me a seed. You didn't give me a seed. I have an heir. You remember, I'm not planning on coming back to this, but if you looked one chapter later in chapter 16, do you remember what Sarai came up with? You remember what she came up with? Sarai said, hey, Abraham, honey, okay, God wants to give you seed, your seed, you a baby. It's not working with me. The problem with me. Use Hagar. That'll be your seed, and that is true. But it was not the son of promise. And it became a huge problem that we could pretty effectively argue that continues to this day. To this day. Amazing. That was not God's will. It was them trying to work it out. That was a failure of faith. And God put him, but Abraham and Sarah, in such an unusual, such an amazing situation, both in the promises and the blessings that were promised to him, as well as the crises of his faith. Look how God responded to Abraham. I already mentioned, no censure, no criticism. It was based on what Abraham said. I don't have a child. You have given me no seed. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. He's talking about Eliezer, the steward. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. You compare verse 1 with verse 4. You compare the word of the Lord before what Abram said with after what Abram said. You compare that God came to him and said, fear not, I am thy shield and thy great reward, with this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. That response is God's, could we say, God's blessing, God's assurance to him in the very time of crisis. Listen, listen. Be careful as a believer that when you have a crisis of faith, you don't merely find some nice juicy tidbit that is so precious, like Genesis 15:1, and then deny and ignore your fear. God gave verse 4 to Abram only after he expressed so openly and honestly and humbly his fear. And look what God said. How could this be more explicit? I mean, this is so explicit, this is so clear, this is so pertinent, and yet it's almost, in our translation, it's almost kind of crude. Look what it says. This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. It's going to be your son, pal. I said it. I mean it. I'm going to do it. Your incapacity is nothing to me, God says. Your inability, your age, that doesn't mean anything to me. I put you in this situation. I'm waiting this long. I want you to understand this is not up to you. You contribute nothing, Abraham. Just trust me. I love that. Why? Because we don't come to God with our faith plus our credentials. We don't come to God with our faith plus our determination, or our faith plus our character, or our faith and our lack of failures. We come to God with nothing and just trust him. That's what he wants. We have to be honest when we really are struggling. The specific statement of fear is what enabled this specific application of faith. It was it not Abram who said, I don't have a seed. And God responded and said, thou which comes forth of your bowels, that's your seed. It was the specific criticism, accusation, struggle that said, I don't have a seed, that created the ability for God to apply so personally, so specifically to that need. And God gave his word to that need. I think sometimes we can think that it's more spiritual to just say, well, I don't have fear. We deny it. And that's a lie. Or we ignore it. Or we just put on this happy face. A mask. We just try to act like we have faith. We try to present ourselves as being people of faith. Even perhaps trying to present ourselves to ourselves as people of faith. Instead of being broken and contrite and humble, which is what God wants. He knows us. We're not faking him out. We might fake out other people. If we persist at it, we may even fake out ourselves. We're not faking out the Lord. And our own self-delusion can be very real. The problem is I don't have a son. I don't have a child. I am childless. You have given me no seed. That's my problem. And I'm afraid I can't make this happen. So what happens? God says, look at the stars. I love this. It's awesome. God says, he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And verse 5, he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. He goes right back to that word, seed. He says, Abraham, come on outside. Well, I don't know, maybe he didn't go outside. Out of your tent, whatever. Come on out. Look up. Must have been dark. Or maybe God just made it dark. I don't know. God said, look at the stars. Start counting them. Why? Start counting the stars, Abraham. What does it have to do with children? Lord, Abraham, I want you to look up. I want you to look at these stars. Just start counting. Count them all. Don't stop till you count them all. Number the stars. Just keep looking. However long it takes, just keep looking. Why did God say that? Don't you think God said that? Because the plan is that at some point, Abraham's going to fall on his face and say, "You are so big. How can I not trust you? You can make all these stars. Are you kidding me? This is so beyond me. I could never count these stars. I have no idea how many stars there are." We today, thousands of years later, have no idea how many stars there are. We've been on the moon. We've got sent things to Mars. We have no idea how many stars there are. And God said to him, "You count the stars." Why? Because at the time of fear, the honest, open admission of fear, it's the very time that God understands and we can learn how big God is. And the reality is, as God's children, we don't live with Him in heaven. We're down here and we read our Bibles and we struggle to trust Him and we struggle to be faithful and we struggle to love people and we struggle to be kind and we struggle to keep body and soul together and we struggle with this duty and that duty and we struggle with shame and we struggle with all that. Life is a struggle. It's hard. And sometimes we just kind of forget how big God is. And pretty soon, this news item and this relational struggle and this financial difficulty just looms bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And at some point, we have to just stop and say, "Lord, I'm terrified. What happens if I get COVID? What happens if I lose my job? What happens if my husband? What happens if my child? What happens if, and we have infinite ifs." We've got an infinite God that can match every one of our fears if we're just honest with Him and we draw close to Him. Count the stars. Why? To work through in his own mind the very essential reality of realizing afresh how very big God is. To Abraham, have seed at my age? It's absolutely impossible. To God, it is absolutely nothing. It's not ignoring the problem. It's not denying the problem. It's bringing the problem to the one who created that problem, who put us in that situation so we could realize and admit our own utter futility and realize how nothing it is to God. I think count the stars can teach us that if we're going to fight fear with faith, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. There's no Bible verse that you just kind of pop into the microwave of your heart and boom, you got the hot coffee or whatever you drink that's hot. There's no quick fix. There's no quick fix here. We're going to have to walk with God. We're going to have to admit our need, admit our problem. We're going to have to spend time with God and spend time in His Word and recognize that our goal is not to get away from fear. Our goal is to get close to God and to see His greatness and His glory and His majesty and His dominion. Verse 6, Abram responded. He didn't say a word. But he said he believed in the Lord. It says he believed in the Lord. And he counted it to him for righteousness. It's fascinating. It's quoted three times in the New Testament. He believed in the Lord. And he counted it. Who's the he? It's God. What's the it? He counted it to him for righteousness. What's the it? What's the antecedent for it? It's believed. He believed in the Lord. Because he trusted the Lord. Because he put his faith in the Lord. Because he put confidence in the Lord. Because Abraham said, "I can't have a baby, but God can do this." And Abraham believed in the Lord. God counted that belief as righteousness. Sometimes we can be afraid. Well, I don't really know if I want to be that honest with God. What delusion it is for us to think God already knows. God knows. He wants us to be open and vulnerable and transparent to him. Abraham believed in the Lord. He had a promise, but no seed. What good's a promise? The promise is no good unless the promiser can carry it out. That's the point. God's goal is not just that we, if I could put it this way, not just that we believe his promise. God's goal is that we trust the promiser, that we draw near to him, that we love him, that we recognize he is the one that we love. He is the one who saves us. So we draw near to him. Otherwise, we can become very selfish with the promises. And we can be so thankful that God has been so good to me. And I am the subject of all of this. And pretty soon we're okay, well, if this is a little, okay, so this is a technique. This is a psychotechnique. So what I do, let me get it straight. Okay, so Pastor, what you're saying is when I'm afraid, I just find the Bible verse and plug that in and then voila. No, we need to draw near to the Lord. And the Lord is the one who brings these things into our lives in order to box us into a cul-de-sac of faith until we have to look forward and see, you know, we see the river and we look behind and we see the Egyptian army and we say, well, what do we do now? Can't do anything. Yeah, well, that's why I brought you here. I want to prove to you that I can do what you can't do. That's what God's doing in our lives. And we are so prone to not admit that. Abraham had a promise, but no seed. Abraham did not have scripture. But Abraham did have the stars. And anytime Abraham had a crisis of faith, he was reminded, I think, of God's promise to try to count the stars. Last week I mentioned this, and I'll say it again, how we can fight fear with our faith. A couple of points. Humbly admit our specific fear. Very specific. I am afraid of this. Find a specific promise from the Word of God that applies. And by the way, if you don't know how to do that, I'm glad to help you. I mean, there's nothing magic about God's Word. It's not like there's one verse for every issue. You get Scripture into your heart. We get it into our heart and mind. And it's just like, it's not just like leaven. I was going to say leaven's the whole lump. But in the same parallel principle is that there's scripture. It's not a magic like a rabbit's foot. It's exercising faith in the person who makes the promise. Humbly admit our specific fear. Find God's specific promise that applies. Realize that to not trust God is to believe that he can't or he won't do what he promised. And then do what Sarah did. She judged him faithful who had promised. Or we could even do what Abraham did. Go count the stars. Just take the promise of God and go count the stars. Just go look. Just how long do you look? You look until you have faith. Yeah. I have a crisis of faith. How long do you read the Bible? You read the Bible until it changes you. And just read the Word of God and saturate yourself with God's Word. I trust that God has been preparing us for these days all along. But I've got a promise that can settle your heart. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord. It's not easy to do. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. All around us, there are people who are controlled by their fears. But you and I can renew our faith in God and be humbly faithful. So remember what God promised Abraham. Fear not, Abram. I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And we can believe that too. Fear not, I'm thy shield, thy exceeding great reward.